Well, good morning, Fort William Baptist Church. Is the microphone working? No? I found out that I'm privileged to be apparently the first person to use this brand new microphone you guys have, so I'm honored and privileged and glad that it's working. As wonderful as it is to use a new microphone, I'm far more honored and privileged to be here this morning at Fort William Baptist Church. This is the church that my wife really grew in the Lord in for some time, and it's also the church that we were married in. The last time I stood here, I was watching her walk down the aisle. I was far more nervous then than I am this morning. Some of our dearest friends are also in this church, and so it's just a wonderful pleasure to be here. As I was preparing my heart to preach this message at this church specifically, Fort William Baptist, a message on prayer, I found myself thanking God for this church. Every time we visit, our hearts are refreshed. It's very clear to us that this is a church that is marked with life. It's marked by many children running around and being raised in godliness. It's marked by a congregation. This is something we notice every time we come, a congregation that sings and sings loudly as they worship the Lord. It's marked by a congregation that comes intently desiring to hear the word of God preached as your elders have for these past years. And it is just an honor and privilege to be able to stand up here and preach this morning. Now, these marks of life that are present at this church are wonderful. It is God glorifying to have children and to raise them up in godliness. It's necessary for us to gather and to hear the word preached on the Lord's day. It's refreshing for our souls. It's powerful to hear a congregation come together and sing loudly. But I'm here this morning to bring a question that is far more personal, far more intimate, and far more important. And that question this morning is, how is your prayer life? Are you, Christian, a praying person? Do you have conversation with the God who made you? Personal prayer is often neglected, and our prayer closet provides much insight into our spiritual well-being. So how often and how seriously we approach our God in prayer is indicative of the affections of our heart. It's indicative of our brokenness over our sin. It's indicative of our dependence on God. And it's indicative on the state of our soul. And I think that it can be said of very few that they pray too much. And so today, I hope to highlight why prayer is important. I hope to show four different aspects that are found in prayer, and then very practically at the end, some tips on how to pray. And so before we go into that, let's practice what I'm about to preach and pray. Father, we thank you that we can gather here together on this Lord's Day, that we can sing your praises. Lord, you are a God who is worthy of all honor and glory forever and ever. Lord, I pray that today you would cut our hearts, that you would convict us if we are neglecting our prayer life. Lord, would you show us the riches that we can find when we come to you? Would you give us a desire to go to our prayer closets, to let our requests be made known to you, to confess our sin, to thank you for all you've done, and to worship you for your splendor? Lord, would you guard my words today as I preach through your word? And Lord, would you open our eyes and ears to see and hear what your word has for us today? Soften our hearts that we may receive this, and would we leave today a praying people? We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our precious Redeemer. Amen. And so why is prayer so important? There are eight reasons I'm going to bring up today. Reason number one, prayer glorifies God. Reason number two, prayer is necessary for salvation. Reason number three, prayer leads Christians to holiness. Reason number four, prayer brings Christians joy. Reason number five, prayer is the mark of a true Christian. Reason number six, prayer brings believers great encouragement. Reason number seven, neglect of prayer leads to backsliding. And reason number eight, private prayer is often neglected. So prayer is important because prayer glorifies God. It is necessary for salvation. It leads to holiness. It brings joy. It marks a true Christian. It brings great encouragement. And while at the same time, it is often neglected, and that neglect leads to backsliding. And so as we unpack these, we need to know what biblical prayer includes. So the Bible teaches and exemplifies prayer as a fourfold activity. The first type of prayer is adoration and praise. The second type of prayer is confession of sin. The third is thanksgiving. And the fourth is petitions and supplications. So prayer includes praise, prayer includes confession, it includes thanksgiving, and it includes petitions. And this sermon is going to include a lot of repetitions. The Lord's Prayer includes three of these four elements: hallowed be thy name, praise and adoration. Forgive us our trespasses, confession. Give us this day our daily bread, petition. And although the Lord's Prayer does not explicitly have thanksgiving in it, other modeled prayers in the Psalms and the New Testament certainly do, as we will see shortly. And so before we go into that, turn with me to Psalm 148, where we see a wonderful example of this first type of prayer, praise and adoration. Psalm 148, hear the words of the one true living God this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deep, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beast and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. And so this type of prayer, this element of prayer, is the one element alone that has nothing to do with you, Christian. Regardless of your current circumstances, regardless of whatever petitions you may have, whatever sin you may be needing to confess to God, whatever blessings you may thank God for, the unchanging God of this universe is always worthy of all honor, praise, and adoration. As the psalm reads, his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. And so the call for the Christian is to praise him. It is to ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Prayer is important because it glorifies God. And you and I, those who have been washed by the blood of Christ, those who have been given the spirit of adoption, desire to praise God for his highly exalted name. Not just what he has done for us, not just thanksgiving, but simply for his unchanging nature and who he is. Do you pray to God simply to adore and praise him? Do you pray to God simply to ascribe to him the glory that is due to his name? The unchanging God is worthy of praise and adoration in all seasons, no matter what else you are praying for, petitioning for, repenting from, or thanking him for. One thing remains unchanged, and that is that God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised for his majesty, for his holiness, his love, his grace, his power in creation, his greatness. Lord, you sit high on the heavens, be enthroned upon my praises. Worthy are you, God, to receive glory and honor and power. Prayer glorifies God, and one element of prayer is praise and adoration. And so enter his gates with praise. praise when you pray. Second element of prayer, confession and the seeking of forgiveness. Psalm 32, verses 5 and 6 read, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. So what does David say here? He says, I acknowledge my sin to you. I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Do you confess your sins to God? Better yet, have you ever confessed your sins before God? Confession of sin is necessary for salvation, and without prayer, there is no confession of sin. That is how important prayer is. Now, it is true that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, that those who call upon God can be forgiven, can be washed, can be adopted. The scriptures teach us that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can you call upon the name of the Lord without prayer? To have lived a prayerless life without ever once confessing your sins, praying to God, crying out to him, is to be without God. It is to be without Christ. It is to be without grace, without hope, and without heaven. And so it's true, we are not saved by prayer, but without prayer, not a single person can be saved. Now, this is not to speak, of course, about infants or those who cannot pray, as we understand it. These are complicated questions, and this is talking about you and I who are capable of prayer, complex thoughts, and speech. And the simple truth is that no person can expect to be saved without prayer. Prayer is necessary for salvation. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that the great majority of those in this room have called upon the name of the Lord. But have you confessed your sins to the Lord since? No longer for the sake of justification, but for sanctification. Do you daily approach the Lord with confession, seeking to be made more like Christ? You started your journey as a Christian with prayer. But do you continue in it? Are you as broken over your sin today as you were when you first called upon the name of the Lord? Prayer is not only important because it is necessary for salvation, but prayer is also important because it leads the Christian to holiness. Read David's words after he committed both adultery and murder. And he writes this in Psalm 51. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before you. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Later in the psalm, he says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. That is a prayer of repentance. The life of a Christian is marked by repentance, and it is marked by the daily confession of sin before God. Now, it is true that you will never know all of your sin. It runs too deep to ever confess it all. But you certainly do know some of it. How are you rebelling against God? Where are your affections straying from Christ? Who have you failed to love like God has loved you? Confess it to God. Join with David and say, have mercy on me, O God. Cleanse me from my sin. Wash me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And after praying that, know that you are forgiven according to God's steadfast love. This is not to say that unconfessed sin is not forgiven. You, Christian, will never know the extent of your sin, and praise God that the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all unrighteousness. But it is to say that the Christian life is marked by repentance. The Christian life is marked by brokenness and shame over sin. The Christian is marked by the desire to kill their sin, and prayer helps our weary battle towards holiness. And it helps our battle for one simple reason, and it is that sin and prayer cannot live in the same heart. Prayer will consume sin, or sin will choke prayer. As you approach God with a broken heart over your sin, you're reminded of your sin. You're preventing yourself from becoming calloused to it, and you leave renewed, forgiven, and restored in the joy of God's salvation. So prayer is a strong remedy against sin. And so confess your sins to God, receive forgiveness, and pray for a clean heart. Pray for a clean heart that will allow you to go out and kill your sin. Confession is an important part of sin because without us, of prayer, not sin. Confession is an important response to sin. That is certainly true. Confession is an important part of prayer because one, it is necessary for salvation, and two, it leads Christians to holiness. The third element of prayer, thanksgiving. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul is praying for the church in Colossae. And at the end of his prayer, he says, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Prayer brings believers great joy as we thank God for all that he has done in our lives. You and I this morning have been blessed far beyond what any of us ever have deserved. Each and every one of this means myself, and this means you deserve to be killed for our sin, like immediately. We deserve the punishment of death right here, right now, and even the fact that we have breath in our lungs is a grace from God. We deserve no grace. We deserve no forgiveness. We deserve no adoption as children. We don't deserve food. We don't deserve shelter. We don't deserve family or friends or any of the great joys in life. Yet God lovingly pours out blessing on us every single day. Now, it is true that this life is filled with much suffering. But whether you are brought high or low, whether you have plenty or you have hunger, whether you have abundance or need, there is much to thank God for in all seasons. And as we thank God for all that he has done, we renew our minds and we leave our prayer closet with gratitude, we leave with thankfulness, and we leave with joy. And that is why Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise, give thanks to him and bless his name. Prayer brings believers joy. The fourth element of prayer is petitions and supplications. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7 reads as follows. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We live in a world filled with sorrow, sickness, death, loss, disappointment, separation, ingratitude, and slander. And Paul knows that the natural response of man to these things is anxiety. Yet he adamantly allows no room for anxiety and to bring these concerns to the Lord. This text teaches us that the only way to stop being anxious about any situation is by bringing every situation to the Lord. To quote Karl Barth, he says, to begin by praising God for the fact that in this situation, as it is, he is so mightily God, such a beginning is the end of anxiety. What that looks like is saying, Lord, even in this sickness of mine, even in this financial struggle of mine, in this broken, hurting marriage of mine, you are still mightily God, and in your hands I cast these burdens, and I trust that you are the powerful God who works all things for my good. Do you know that you have been adopted as a child to the almighty sovereign God of this universe? Not only is he powerful and in control of all things and able to answer your prayers, but he is near and he hears your prayers. And because of this, prayer brings Christians great encouragement. Because we know that all of our burdens, all of our troubles, all of our sufferings can be cast on the God of the universe, and he will sustain us. That is a promise from Scripture. And so today, whatever you are going through, God is offering you a peace that surpasses all understanding. If you would just cast what is making you anxious on him. And this peace does not make sense to the world. Nothing seems more foreign and foolish to human beings than to have peace in the depths of despair, poverty, sickness, suffering, and persecution. To have anxiety amidst all of these things. Now that makes sense, but God gives peace when it is most unexpected. So let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. That is a promise from Scripture. To quote J.C. Ryle, he says, "How shall we get through this valley of tears with the least pain? I know no better receipt than the habit of taking everything to God in prayer." How shall we get through this valley of tears? This life is filled with many tears. And what better way to get through it than to cast your burdens on the Almighty God who will sustain you? Taking everything to God brings us to our next point, and that is that prayer is the mark of a true Christian. There is nothing in this life that shows your dependence on God more than prayer. To cry out to God, to let your request be made known to him, is showing your dependence on him. You and I are completely and utterly dependent on God. He is the one who created you. He is the one who redeemed you. He is the one whose air you breathe, whose world you live in, whose grace you walk in. You are dependent on him. And will you not cry out to him when you're in need? Or do you really believe the silly, foolish lie that you are strong, that you are the captain of your own life's journey? No, you are weak and God is strong. As a newborn is to their parent, so you are to God. And the mark of a true Christian is the realization that they are dependent on God. And a man who never goes to God in prayer either does not know how dependent he is on God, or he's lost sight of it and forgotten how dependent he really is. To quote once again J.C. Ryle, "A man may write books and make fine speeches and seem diligent in good works and yet be Judas Iscariot. But a man seldom goes into his closet and pours out his soul before God in secret unless he is earnest." It does not matter how long you've gone to church. It does not matter how much you've learned about theology. It doesn't even matter how much you have boasted about the riches of Christ. If you can talk much about God, but never talk to God, it is in vain. God is calling you today to come before him and pour out your soul. Private prayer is far too often neglected. And there's a very simple reason why private prayer is so neglected, is that the desire of man's heart, the temptations that you and I face daily, is to get far away from God and have nothing to do with him. We will try and find any reason not to praise him, any reason not to confess our sin before him, to thank him, or to make our requests known to him. And so the question is, has your heart grown calloused this morning? Does your business, your family, your worldly affairs consume all of your time? Do you eat, drink, sleep, rise, work, breathe God's air, enjoy his earth, walk in his common grace, and yet never speak to him? With little or no time for prayer, just a few stolen moments squeezed into your busy life for the God who made you, redeemed you, and will one day judge you? If this is the case, and this has certainly been the case for myself, then do not be surprised if your faith is backsliding. When a believer enters his prayer closet less frequently, faith will surely decline, because neglect of prayer leads to backsliding. And rest assured that men fall in private far before they fall in public. How can you lean on the Lord without prayer? How can you trust him without ever petitioning to him? How can you expect to be free from the burdens of this life without casting them on him? How can you proclaim to know him if you never speak to him? How can you call him Father if he's an unknown God? How miserable is this picture? How miserable is the picture of someone who attends church, who reads books, who talks about God, yet never meditates on his majesty, never praises and adores him, never feels his loving hand of grace when they confess their sins, never experiences the joy that comes from thanksgiving, and has never received the peace of God that guards their heart and minds in petition. How else can we overcome this neglect of prayer than to pray? And so if that is you this morning, pray that you would be a praying people. Cry out to God that he would cut you to the heart. Pray that you would see your need for a daily physician. Pray that you wouldn't be entrapped in the cares of this world. Pray that you would long for and desire intimate conversation with your Father. Pray that you would realize your weakness and dependence on God. Pray that he would strengthen your faith to ask boldly of him and doubt nothing. The Almighty Sovereign God of the universe, the one who is in control of all things, is not only powerful, but he is near, and his call for you today is to pray. And so this week, as we go out into our busy lives, into a world that is filled with temptations to draw us away from prayer, remember these things, that prayer glorifies God, that prayer is necessary for salvation, that for those who are already justified, prayer leads to holiness, that prayer brings believers joy, that prayer is the mark of a true Christian, that prayer brings believers great encouragement, and that neglect of prayer leads to backsliding. And we'll close today with a few practical tips for prayer. So as you go out, as you seek to pray to the God who made you and redeemed you and has called you his own, remember to pray with reverence and humility. Remember how great God is and how small you are. Remember to pray spiritually. Don't pray as a formality. Pray with the help of the Spirit. You can utter prayers that you don't mean, and it is in vain. Pray with perseverance. Once you start the habit of praying, don't stop and fall for the temptation to stop. There will always be reasons why today you can't pray, why this is more important at this exact moment, but pray with perseverance and build a habit. When you go out and pray, pray earnestly and genuinely. Let your hearts be warm, genuine, and from the heart. as you go, pray with faith, fully trusting that God is able to answer all of your prayers and that he does, and doubt nothing. Nothing is impossible for our God. As you pray, go and pray boldly. You, Christian, are a child of God, and you can boldly approach his throne because you have been given the spirit of adoption, and you can call out on him, Father. As you pray, go with much to say. Don't just pray for some things. Don't just pray the theological things you think you need to pray. Pray for everything. And with that, I'm going to say pray particular requests as well. Trust God, not yourself, with even the smallest request, because you are dependent on him. And so bring your requests and let them be made known to God. And as you pray, pray with a heart for others. Do not just selfishly pray for yourself. Pray for others. Pray for your family, your church, your pastor, your elders, your loved ones who are not saved. Pray for others. And lastly, pray with thankfulness. For God has blessed you richly, far beyond what you deserve, and so thank him. Prayer is unfortunately very often neglected. It's easy to join the great congregation of believers and worship together to hear the word preached, and these are good things. But God is calling you today to go into your private prayer closet and cry out to him. And know that if you cry out to him, if you say, Lord, have mercy, he will hear you. He will be near to you. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that is a promise worth rejoicing over. And so praise and adore him. Confess your sin to him. Thank him for all he has done. And lastly, let your requests be made known to him. Let's pray. Lord, we are a needy people, and we have much to pray for. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who is in control of all things, that you hear our prayers, and that you answer them in accordance to your good will. Lord, we know your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher than ours, and that you will answer them according to your will and not ours. And Lord, we actually thank you for that. We thank you that you are the God who works all things for our good. We thank you that you hear our prayers when we come to you. And so, Lord, today we praise you for who you are. We praise you for your work in creation, your splendor, your majesty, your holiness. Lord, we confess that we are a sinful people. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us and wash us with the blood of Jesus, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we also come giving you thanks. We thank you chiefly for the cross that has made a way for us to be united to you. We thank you for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that he died in our place. And that is, he's clothed us in his righteousness. And so, Lord, we thank you that we can be redeemed, that we can be called your children, that we can call out to you, Abba, Father. Lord, we also just thank you for the many smaller blessings in this life. We thank you for a building that we can meet in. We thank you that we live in a nation where we can gather and worship you. We thank you for living in a nation that has an abundance of food and shelter. Lord, we have so much to thank you for. And lastly, Lord, we have many petitions and requests to be made known to you. But Lord, my main request today is that you would compel each and every one of you to bring our own burdens before you, to bring our own requests before you, and to realize that nothing is too small to bring to you in prayer. And so, Lord, make us a praying people. Cut our hearts that we would cry out to you. And Lord, would the peace of God guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's in his name that we pray all of these things. Amen.